Unity.com. Psych. Yeah. You guys caught on to this one a little better than the week before. I don't know. That was good. That was good. So thanks, Otis, for sharing that. And, you know, you'll see a few more special features in the next couple of weeks to come. So a question to kind of get us started this morning. How do you react when you don't like the circumstances you find yourself in? Now, I know, even as I ask that question, we all react a little bit differently, right? And maybe it depends a little bit on the circumstances. But generally speaking, you know, we all have a response. Some people endure. They just try to endure the circumstances, just kind of plow through them. Other people resist them, do what they can to avoid them. Some people just give up hope, and they just kind of let despair settle in. Some people try and ignore them or block them out. Maybe, again, maybe how you respond kind of depends on the particular circumstance. But when we're in a situation like that, when people are facing circumstances that way, it's usually then that we find ourselves hearing some of the sayings that we're going to consider this morning. We're in this series called The Bible Doesn't Say That. It's taking a look at things that people say, things that people often think are biblical or are true about God, and they sound that way, but they're not actually in the Bible. So we're going to look at three of them this morning that have to do with circumstances that are undesirable. Oftentimes when we're in a situation where we hear circumstances or where there's circumstances that are undesirable to us, we'll hear someone say this: God won't give you more than you can handle. Right? Or God will never give you more than you can handle. Anyone ever heard that before? Right? Anyone ever said that before? Don't raise your hand. Because you'll feel really bad in a minute or two. Because first of all, that's not in the Bible, right? The Bible doesn't say that. Now, this is usually said when someone's dealing with painful or difficult circumstances, and it's kind of our way of saying, oh, you'll get through this somehow, right? But a few problems with it. First of all, the Bible doesn't say that. Here's what the Bible does say, a verse that often may get confused with that concept, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And sorry, the texts for these verses are not on the screen today, but you can look them up. They're all listed in your notes, okay? So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Okay, right in the middle there, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. See, this passage isn't saying that God won't allow more pain or suffering than you can handle. It says he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. There's a big difference. The focus is not on avoiding pain and avoiding suffering. The focus is on avoiding sin. Now, this phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, it's an awful way to encourage someone. And I want you to think this through with me, because here's what it says. It says that any situation, any bad situation that you're going to face in life, any bad thing that happens to you, is something God expects you to be able to handle. How in the world is someone supposed to be able to handle the loss of a child or a parent? How in the world is someone supposed to be able to handle being raped or being sexually abused? How is someone supposed to be able to handle a loved one being killed by a drunk driver? How is someone supposed to be able to handle physical torture, painful disease, extreme depression, and things of that nature? Now, if I were going through one of those types of things, and someone said to me, oh, God will never give you more than you can handle, You know what my natural response would be? Well, forget God then. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want any part of them. Because I can't handle this. So I think it's an awful response, honestly. Don't ever say it. Okay? Just don't. Drop the mic, walk away. That's the end of the message this morning, right? But God, here's the thing. Now, God is ultimately in control of anything that happens to us. Okay? We understand that. He does allow us to experience pain and sorrow. But the flip side of this is this. If God never allowed us to experience more than we could handle, would we ever realize our need for Him? It's often when we are beyond our own strength, our own ability to handle something, that we turn to God. And then we experience His strength or His peace. You know, story after story in the Scripture actually talks about people who couldn't handle what was coming their way. So, like the Hebrew people, right? They couldn't handle slavery in Egypt. They cried out to God. They couldn't endure it anymore. And God sent Moses to deliver them. He came to the rescue. Hannah had more sorrow than she could bear because she was unable to have children, so she cried out to God. And God answered her prayer. She had a son who turned out to be Samuel, the prophet. Think about the people that Jesus healed when he walked on this earth. Right? They cried out to him because they felt that what they were experiencing was more than they could handle. And he healed them. He healed them. It's in our need that we're often most open to Jesus. It's because we're facing something we can't handle that we're willing to turn our hearts toward him. Our pain helps us see that need for Jesus, and without it, we just go on thinking everything was fine in life. We wouldn't see a problem. I've shared this story before, but I've heard the example of a mother who had a daughter who was born with an unusual but not unique disease or condition where she couldn't feel any physical pain in her life. Her pain receptors, for whatever reason, did not work. So if she got a fever, she wouldn't know it. If she had a cold, she wouldn't feel the symptoms. If she had a cut, broke her toe, broke a bone in her body, she wouldn't feel that either. Now that sounds awesome. We might think that's great, no physical pain. But the problem is, she would never know if something was wrong. And so the mother lived in constant fear of what was happening inside of her daughter. Could there be a broken bone that we don't know about because she wouldn't feel it? All the meanwhile, it would be destroying her. She wouldn't see the problem. And in a similar way, our pain and sorrow, it helps us see our need for God. Right? And it drives us into his arms. If life were easy, if we never experienced pain, we'd never see that there are problems and issues in this world, and then we wouldn't turn to him. And we would be lost for eternity. But when we do turn to him, that's when we get to discover and experience his strength. Psalm 34:18 says this: "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Right? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You know, God may allow you and I to face more than we're able to handle. But we can be sure of this: nothing we ever face will be more than he can handle. Right? In our weakness, we need to realize God's strength. That's when we realize God's strength. So one of the things we need to remember in our difficult circumstances is that our God is strong. Right? Our God is strong. And it's a very simple concept, but we need to remember in our circumstances, our God is strong. Like Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit." We don't have to face these things on our own. Here's a second quote that people often say when we're facing challenging times. "And this too shall pass." Right? "And this too shall pass." Well, as you may expect, the Bible doesn't say that. This is actually a Persian proverb from about 1200 AD. Now, there's a legend around this proverb. It's legend, but the story goes like this. There was a powerful Persian ruler who called all of his wise counselors together, and he asked them for a quote that would be accurate in all times and in every situation. So they pondered it, they contemplated it deeply, and this is the quote they came up with. This too shall pass. And the ruler was so impressed that he had it inscribed in a ring. That's the legend of the saying. This too shall pass. Now this saying, it represents or expresses the transient nature of things, right? Everything is coming and going, whether good or bad or indifferent. Nothing's going to last. Now, these days, we mostly quote it in this context. When we're facing a bad or a difficult thing, it reminds us this too will pass. It's only temporary. No matter how bad it gets, this too shall pass. Now, here's a variation on this quote that Bob shared with me this week that I thought was good. And this too shall pass. It might pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. All right. Well, I suppose there is some truth in this saying, right? There is, especially when, if you're only talking about things here on earth, right? Everything will pass at some point. But there are some things that aren't going to pass or aren't going to fade away. For instance, God's word. Right? Mark 13:31 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." God's love. Psalm 136 talks about how his steadfast love endures forever. Says it over and over and over and over again in this psalm. God's love will never pass. And here's another thing that's never going to pass. Psalm 119:90 says this, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." Your faithfulness endures to all generations. God's faithfulness is not going to pass. Right? In fact, another verse in Scripture says he's faithful to us even when we aren't faithful, which is a good thing because we are often unfaithful to him. God is faithful. In our challenging circumstances, we need to remember that as well. Our God is faithful. Whether something passes or not, he's going to be there. Right? He's going to be there. Here's the last quote that we often hear. Well, there's probably many others, but the last one we'll think about today. Last quote, "Good things come to those who wait." All right, good things come to those who wait. Now, originally, this phrase traces back to a poem by Violet Fain in 1892. Ironically, that was the year our building here was built. Just interesting. I don't know. Why is that funny? Well, and this too shall pass. Just look around you. You'll see it all over the place. All right. Excellent. Okay. So here's the actual quote that was in her poem. It's a little different. She actually says, "All things come to those who wait." Okay, referring, though, to good things. Here's the full quote. "All things come to those who wait. I say these words to make me glad. But something answers soft and sad. They come, but often come too late." All right, so yeah, all things are going to come to us, but oftentimes they come when it's, you know, way past when I need them. Now, that phrase has morphed through the years into a phrase that basically encourages us to just be patient in tough times. Right? If we wait, if we just hang on a little longer, the good things are going to come. That's kind of the power of positive thinking at its best, but the Bible doesn't say that. Okay? Now, there's some similar wisdom in Scripture. Probably the closest actual wording is from Lamentations 3:25, and it says this, "The Lord is good to those who wait on him." The Lord is good to those who wait on him. Now, there's a big distinction between good things come to those who wait and the Lord is good to those who wait on him. Because the Scriptures don't promise us that we're going to receive a good thing, but it does say we will get a good God. In our difficult circumstances, we have to remember our God is good. Our God is good. Okay? He's a good God. He's a loving Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. Our God is good. So three different sayings that we often hear in difficult circumstances. God will never give you more than you can handle. And this too shall pass. Good things come to those who wait. Each one of those are a little bit unique, but I think there is an underlying issue that they bring up, or at least the use of them often brings up. And it's this, that they call into question the wisdom of God. Right? They call into question God's wisdom. I mean, think about how we use them. God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, look, if we had our way, we wouldn't allow any bad things to ever happen to anyone in the first place, so we wouldn't have to handle anything. This too shall pass. I mean, let's face it, even if we did allow bad things to happen, we'd make sure that it was over much sooner than God often does. Good things come to those who wait. Well, we wouldn't have to wait for anything. Waiting, that would not be part of the equation. And as far as good things coming, you know, there'd be like a pot of gold at the end of every rain cloud. I mean, that's how we would handle it if we were in charge. And I think so often, because we don't like what God's up to, well, we think we could do it better, right? We think we have a way better plan than God. Now, we might not say that out loud. We might not even consciously think it, but it's lurking underneath the surface. And we often show that by how we act and the things that we say. So we tend to take things into our own hands and do things our way instead of trusting God's wisdom. Because what we're saying is our plan is a little bit better than what God wants for us. Well, in our difficult circumstances, not only do we have to remember that our God is strong, that our God is faithful, that our God is good, but we need to remember our God is also wise. Right? We need to remember God's wisdom. He has complete wisdom. Not just any kind of wisdom, but wisdom that is infinite. Here are a few things the Bible says, few verses about God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, this is the New Living Translation, because I really like the way this explained it. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Okay, think about that. The most foolish thing, the most foolish part of God, if there were such a thing, is still far wiser than the wisest of all of our people. Our God is wise. Here's James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, think about our own human wisdom. Wouldn't it be a little bit of a stretch to think that our human wisdom fits that description perfectly? That our wisdom is pure, our wisdom is merciful, our wisdom is sincere. I mean, we miss the mark, and that's like strike three, we're out, and that's only three of the seven or eight things that are mentioned here. God's wisdom is truly greater than ours. Isaiah 55:8-9, another passage about wisdom. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is saying, look, you may think you know what's best, but my thoughts are higher. You may think your ways are great, but my ways are greater. And you know, and when we look at this rationally, when we hear these verses, we would all agree with them. We would all come to the conclusion that, yeah, God truly is all of these things. He's strong, he's faithful, he's good, and he's wise. We know his wisdom is far greater than ours, without question. If you are here today and you're not dealing with any heavy, difficult, challenging thing in your life right now, that all probably seems like some pretty basic points, Eric. God is strong, he's faithful, he's good, and he's wise. It's kind of like child stuff, right? Of course God is wise. But if you're going through something, if you're in the midst of difficult circumstances, our perspective gets a little bit skewed by our hurt or our pain or our sorrow or our disappointment. And sometimes, even though we do see it clearly, we still choose to ignore God's wisdom. Right? We go our own way instead of listening to Him. And so here's the thought that I really want you to leave with this morning and to wrestle with a little bit this morning. The issue isn't whether or not we can trust God's wisdom. Right? We know we can trust God's wisdom. We know it. We know His wisdom is far greater than ours. It's not whether we can trust God's wisdom. The issue is whether or not we will. It's whether or not we will. There's a passage in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it's a kind of a promise to us. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Right? In short, what James is writing is, look, are you going to trust God's wisdom or not? Because His wisdom is perfect, so we need to seek it. And when we seek it, God's going to give it to us. He is going to give it out. He isn't going to hold back on us. He isn't going to withhold anything when it comes to His wisdom. But when we receive that wisdom, well, we can't doubt Him. I mean, if we doubt His wisdom, then we're double-minded and unstable. Meaning if we get God's wisdom and then we're like, well, maybe I think I know a little bit better. Maybe I'm not so sure on this one. Well, then we're double-minded and unstable. We really didn't want His wisdom in the first place. We need to trust His wisdom, because ultimately, if we're trusting His wisdom, we're trusting Him. So the question isn't whether or not we can trust God's wisdom. The issue is whether or not we will. So I just want to ask you as we close this morning, this is a question for me as well, what's one area of your life where you need to trust God's wisdom more deeply? You know, what's one area of your life you need to trust God's wisdom more deeply? I certainly can't answer that necessarily for you. Maybe you would say, well, it's in regards to how I interact in such relationship. You know, I've been kind of doing it my way, and it's not working. It's just not happening, but I haven't really been trying to live according to God's wisdom. You know, maybe it's in finances. Maybe it's in a work environment. I'm not sure what it might be for you, but consider that this morning. What's one area of your life where you need to trust God's wisdom more deeply instead of relying upon your own? And when you think about that area, I would just ask this. If you do believe God is strong and God is faithful and God is good and also that God is wise, then why wouldn't you trust Him in that area? Why wouldn't I trust Him in that area? What is holding you back from doing that? So as you think about that one area this morning and as we close, and maybe there are many, but I want to take a moment and just pray for that. And I would invite you to stand as we wrap up today, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for these areas that we're identifying in our own life. Pray with me if you would. Father God, we are all standing here before You as people who need You. We do recognize that You are a strong God, that You are a faithful God, that You're a good God. You're loving. You're so kind and compassionate, but You're also wise. And in some areas of our life, we have taken it on our own, kind of trying to do things on our own. And this morning, as we identify maybe an area or two that we're, our wisdom is not cutting it. We want to turn to you. We ask for your wisdom, and we ask for you to help us to trust that wisdom more deeply in these particular areas of our life. Help us to discover what your wisdom is in whatever area it is we are offering to you. Help us to discover that in your word, through others who can speak godly counsel into it, in prayer. And as we do that, God, help us not to be double-minded and unstable, as that passage from James talks about. Help us to trust your wisdom and to walk in that way, knowing that you, that's what you desire for us. We want to offer this area of our life to you and ask for your help. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.